All right, welcome back. Who's Talking? Final half hour of tonight's two-hour show. Jim Hobgood, Frank Maloney, Michael Tusky momentarily with the sports update. I guess we should thank those people that have joined us tonight. Fontel Mines, Ahmad Hawkins. Well, we didn't really have Dr. Gordy Rawls.
Dr. Gordy Rawls is still out there running around.
Yeah, he's probably still working hard.
Probably in surgery.
That's right, absolutely.
That's a good excuse.
But we'll have him back in a future week. And, of course, we had Dirk Kastra as well. But now it's time for Michael Tusky to go ahead and update us with what else is going on over in Charlottesville other than football.
Well, there's several things going on, and we'll start out with men's soccer. The Virginia men's soccer team is now 5-3 and still 1-0 in the ACC. They lost a hard-fought match to number 14 Charlotte 2-1 in overtime on Friday night in Charlottesville. That game featured 49 fouls and 11 penalty cards issued, including 3 red cards in the last 20 minutes of the second half. Pretty crazy stuff. Last night, the team beat Radford 4-3 at Klockner Stadium. Forward Will Bates of Thomas Dale High School put in an outstanding effort and scored all 4 goals for the Wahoos.
Unbelievable.
That is one goal short of the 5-goal record by a single player in a game that was set all the way back in the World War II era in 1942. The Hoos return to ACC play when they host number 5 North Carolina on Friday at 7 p.m. Let's hope they can avenge last week's football game and beat those Tar Heels.
World War II era. My wife might be listening, and you are a Virginia graduate, of course. You
know. I do apologize, Mrs. Hobgood. Moving on to women's soccer, they're ranked number 14 in the nation, and they are now 7-2-1 and 1-1 in the ACC after splitting a pair of games this past week. They creamed number 4 Maryland 4-1 on Thursday evening at Klockner Stadium as Caroline Miller scored 2 goals for the Cavaliers. Goalkeeper Chantel Jones of Clover Hill High School also made 2 saves for UVA. On Sunday, the team lost 2-0 to number 18 Boston College on the road, but they looked to rebound when they travel to Chapel Hill to face number 7 UNC on Sunday at 3 p.m. in a game that will be televised nationally on ESPNU. The number 18 Virginia women's field hockey team did not have a good week as they lost 2 games and fell into 4-5 for the season, but they look forward to hosting 2 home games this weekend. Boston College comes to town at 6 p.m. on Friday at the University Hall turf field, and the U of R Spiders visit on Sunday at 1 p.m. Finally tonight, the Virginia men's tennis team will host the UVA Ranked Plus One Invitational on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Snyder Tennis Center in Charlottesville. The Hoos look to have another strong team this year as sophomore Alex Domlejohn is ranked as the number 1 singles player in America in preseason rankings recently released by the Intercollegiate Tennis Association, and first-year Mitchell Frank also earned the top ranking in the freshman newcomer category. Maybe this is the year for them to win it all.
Well, gentlemen, how about the ACC schedule this year, or this week, Mr. Maloney?
Here we go.
A couple of big games in particular that are on that schedule for this coming weekend.
All right. Well, first off, Thursday night, NC State is at Cincinnati to play the Bearcats. That's the ESPN 8 p.m. game. On Saturday, the 24th, North Carolina travels to Georgia Tech for the ESPN noon game, and that will be a slugfest. 2 terrific teams. That should be a great game. Florida State is at Clemson. That game could even be better. That's at 3:30. Kansas State is then at Miami. Miami's coming off a very nice win against Ohio State. Let's see here. That Miami game is at 3:30. Tulane, the Green Wave, I believe, travels to Duke at a 3:30 game down there in Durham.
Now, the significance of that game I saw in the paper today is Duke is a double-digit favorite in that game, and that's the first time that's happened in many moons, apparently.
That's incredible.
The Dukies have not been a double-digit favorite in a football game in a long time, apparently.
Maybe they got them confused with the basketball team. Temple travels to Maryland. That's a 12:30 game, and that will be a tough game for the Terrapins. Massachusetts is at Boston College. I would think that Boston College could get well in that game.
Get off the snide, as
get
they say.
Get off the snide, yep. Southern Miss is at Virginia. Boy, those, what are they, the Golden Eagles?
Golden Eagles.
The Golden Eagles are going to have their hands full because I think the Wahoos and the friendly confine.
At least we hope they're going to have their hands full.
They better have their hands full. That's a 3:30 kickoff. Also, it's going to be on regional sports networks. I think for us in Richmond, that has got to be Comcast Sports, I think maybe Channel 76 or something like that. Virginia Tech is at Marshall. Is Virginia Tech going to play anybody this year? I just want to throw that out there.
I think they have Clemson next week, don't they?
Oh, they're finally going to have to play some football then.
I think that game is in Blacksburg. But, yeah, the thundering herd, the herd's not making that much thunder anymore.
They're pretty much limping into that game.
They have beaten Southern Miss, though. So
that's sort of a shocker.
So there's a connection there.
We need all the help we can get.
We're not going to speak until after we play Southern Miss. Maybe the thundering herd's better than we think.
Hopefully they will thunder against the Hokies and make them earn one. As for the ACC scorecard this past weekend, if you didn't see the Clemson victory against Auburn, that was a terrific comeback. They were down 2 touchdowns, and then they just exploded on them. And Clemson has got some receivers. Woo! Taj Boyd, a Virginia quarterback, got away down to Clemson, and he's terrific so far. West Virginia spanked Maryland 37-31. Duke squeaked out one against Boston College by 1 point when Boston College missed a 21-yard field goal. I think I could have made that kick.
Well, that one hit the upright, and it's turnabout fair play because Duke, of course, missed the short chip shot field goal
against Richmond
in the loss to Richmond. So what comes around, goes around, I guess, or something like that.
Georgia Tech apparently got on Route 66 and just humiliated Kansas last weekend.
Virginia at Pitt football, so Pitt's had a great football tradition, but they're both currently terrific basketball schools. Jamie Dixon has had the Panthers, I think, to like the Great Eight several of the last years, and of course Jim Boeheim won a national championship 5-6 years ago, and I think teams in the ACC are going to have to learn how to play against a 2-3 zone with Jim Boeheim coming to the league. So Tony Bennett recruiting those guys that can shoot, that's going to be helpful down the road if they have to play against Syracuse. So I doubt we're stopping at 14. If you get to 14,
they're going for 16.
Yeah, you're going to add two more teams in there, so it really becomes a question of where they go for those other two teams.
Is it Connecticut and Rutgers, or are there some other teams in there?
Well, there could be other teams. I mean, you know, there have been mention of Texas and places like that. I asked Michael Tuskey earlier before we went on the air tonight, can we continue to call it the Atlantic Coast Conference if we have Texas in the ACC?
I don't think Texas is ever going to happen.
No, I don't think. But, you know, sometimes I guess – now, you referenced earlier the Pac-12, and, of course, the Big Ten now has 11 teams, so it really gets confusing when a number is part of the conference name and you have a different number of teams than what the conference name is, but nevertheless it'll be interesting to see. And I think going to Pittsburgh, going to Syracuse, the idea of maybe having an ACC tournament somewhere down the road at Madison Square Garden is certainly an interesting idea, I think the ACC is committed for the next 5 or 6 years, Atlanta this year, and then I think they have 3-year commitment at Greensboro after that. Beyond that, I'm not exactly sure where they're headed, but at any rate, a lot of news in college athletics these days.
Well, including the fact that North Carolina announced their self-imposed penalties, of which reducing the scholarships by 3 over a 3-year period, so loss of 3 scholarships each year for 3 years, a $50,000 fine, putting themselves on probation. They did not announce that they would voluntarily drop the opportunity to play in a bowl game. I feel that on October 28th, when they have to go before the NCAA Infractions Committee, I think that those people will have some other ideas and some other penalties.
They did vacate their 2008 and 2009 wins.
That is correct. And I thought that was smart of them to do that, although I have to say that is like a token gesture in my mind.
So does that mean we were 5-7 last year and not 4-8?
Apparently. Yeah.
2009, not 2010, so last year.
Oh,
We only benefited from 1 year, 2010, because we lost that game. We beat them in 2009.
I think the NCAA penalties are going to be
a little bit more stringent.
More stringent, severe than what Carolina has suggested. Carolina's probably that's an opening offer in the negotiation because they know something is coming, but it's been tough for the Carolina nation.
So I think we have Jim on the line, and I think Jim may have a question. Jim, are you there?
I'm here. Do I have a good connection?
Good connection. What you got for us?
Well, I was just talking about hearing you talk about expansion, and I don't know if we would go west, but mm-hmm. I think Kansas State would be a good fit in the ACC.
Kansas State?
Kansas State. I mean, we could maybe pick up both Kansas schools, but Kansas State is actually is a lot more like I mean, it has kind of a preppy quality, you know, as opposed to maybe other state schools on the East Coast. Kansas State is a little bit is more like Virginia would be than Kansas. Kansas would be more like, you know, Virginia Tech.
Okay. I'm not that familiar with those schools in general. I remember when Ron Prince was out there coaching at Kansas State, and I followed him for a little bit, and there was a famous defensive back safety that played for Kansas, Nolan Cromwell, who went on to play for the Rams. I remember him. Not sure about the viability of wanting to go outside of the Eastern Standard time zone. I think John Swofford, the commissioner of the ACC, has alluded to the fact that he wants to keep it along the East Coast corridor. I wonder if Kentucky might be interested in jumping out of the SEC because they have such a strong basketball tradition and they might want to be playing in the ACC going forward. You have to wonder a little bit about Rutgers. It is the state school of New Jersey. A lot of kids that play in that state end up being picked up by ACC schools.
Well, the one thing you have to think about, it, I mean, right now we have Boston College.
Yep.
If you add Syracuse and Pitt, and if you did add Connecticut and Rutgers,
yep,
all of a sudden you're negotiating power going into the TV markets up there in Philadelphia, Boston, New York would be a lot stronger. And as I say, all this is about money. So I think the ACC is certainly going to want to renegotiate a lot of those television packages with the expansion. So a lot of considerations go into how this plays out.
No doubt. If you had to put down money right now, any chance that there might be some discussions with Notre Dame, or is it a foregone conclusion? The only reason I bring up Notre Dame is the profile of the school so closely matches what the ACC is all about.
Oh, I think it would be a great fit from an academic standpoint and athletic, but Notre Dame has such a sweet deal on their own.
Yep.
It becomes a question, do they really want to share that revenue with, 15 other schools?
Yeah.
So that's the hang-up there.
Probably not.
It'll be interesting. I would say everybody needs to stay tuned, and it's a rapidly evolving situation.
It's fluid, as they say.
Absolutely.
We are going to head to break now, so we've got a few minutes on the back end for our last segment. Stay tuned. We're going to preview next week's show, and we're going to make our predictions as well. So thanks for listening to Who's Talking. We've got one more segment.
All right, final segment tonight, Who's Talking? And Michael Tusky has a couple of updates for us before we talk about the Virginia game against Southern Mississippi. Michael?
We do want to give a short plug to our friends over at the UVA Club of Richmond. Their fall kickoff party is tomorrow night at T. Miller's here in town. Starts at 5:30 p.m. Featured guest Ray Roberts, UVA great Ray Roberts, and the voice of the Who's, Dave Kane. Go to their website for more information. Another thing also happening in town tomorrow that's exciting for Virginia athletics. Governor Bob McDonnell, or as I like to call him, Bob's for Jobs, is having the national champion UVA lacrosse team to the executive mansion. He and Mrs. McDonnell are also graciously welcoming the members of the UVA men's tennis team. So we will remember, finished a heartbreaking number two in the country in 2011. And track and field's Robbie Andrews, who won the national title in the 800 meters, will also be there. So it should be a great.
And the UVA baseball team.
And the UVA baseball team, World Series participating baseball squad. So it should be a great day down in Capitol Square.
You know, I think it's very exciting. Good to hear that Ray Roberts and Dave Kane are going to be down at T. Miller's tomorrow night. And the UVA Club of Richmond does some excellent things in the community. For Wahoos, there's a lot of good networking opportunities and so forth, and fun lunches, and generally raises awareness for attracting the best and the brightest to even apply to the University of Virginia. So very excited about that. So hope to see everyone down there tomorrow night at 5:30, and I know Ray Roberts will be excited to be down there himself. Understand also that the young alumni are meeting afterwards for a happy hour, I believe around 9:30. So,
can I go to that,
Jim? You cannot go to the young alumni unless your wife can go with you and keep an eye on.
Well, that she looks very young. She looks very young.
All right, let's talk about the games. The games. The games. Let's pick them. Ready? All right, Haba. What do we got here this week? We've got North Carolina, Georgia Tech. What's going to happen?
The Yellow Jackets are going to win.
All right, I'm going to have to say that based upon what we've seen so far, I think the Tar Heels might shock them. I've just got a funny feeling about that. I think Renner's passing is going to be too much. All right, Temple's at Maryland.
You know, the funny thing, Temple gave Penn State a heck of a game. Al Golden did not leave the cupboard bare up there at Temple.
Correct.
He did a terrific job, but it's at Maryland. I'm going to go with the Terrapins.
I'm going to agree with you there. Massachusetts at Boston College. BC needs a win big time. What's going to happen?
I think they finally get one. Our friend Frank up there gets a W, although with the start of the season, Coach Spag, I think,
Spaziani.
Yeah, he could be in trouble. We'll have to monitor that as the year progresses.
Southern Mississippi is at UVA. Let's hold that to last. Tulane at Duke.
I think the Dukies get the big victory over the Green Wave.
I agree. Virginia Tech is at Marshall. Boy, this was stepping out and gambling for Coach Beamer.
Upset of the week. No, I think the Hokies roll over the herd.
Yeah. Florida State at Clemson. Huge game.
That really is big because, you know, Florida State coming off a loss, you know, they were ranked fifth in the country. They drop all the way to 14 when they lose to the number one team in the country. Playing at Death Valley, the Tigers are pumped up. You know, I might go with Clemson. You know, Clemson's playing really well, although Florida State needs to win that game. They don't want to lose two in a row. So it'll certainly tell us how good Florida State is.
I agree. I'm gonna pick Clemson in a mild upset there. Just because they've got the momentum, and last week they looked brilliant against Auburn, and Auburn was the first Auburn game that the Tigers had lost in 18 tries.
Yeah, they had
a 17 game winning streak coming into that game. So
had the longest active winning streak, but that is not the case any longer.
Kansas State at Miami. What do you think?
Hurricanes will win that game.
That's going to be closer than the prognosticators. I'm going to say Miami maybe by a field goal. And the Thursday night game, NC State without Russell Wilson. They've got a kid named Glennon playing quarterback now at Cincinnati. What happens there?
I have no idea, but I think Cincinnati may win at home. NC State, that's a game a few weeks from now that Virginia needs to find a way to win.
I'm gonna pick NC State in a mild upset. Let's talk about Virginia. Go, go, go.
I think the Hoos are going to win the game. I think they showed some good signs. I think they're going to be able to run the football, hopefully control the tempo of the game.
Score. Come on, Hobbo.
28-17.
I'm going to say 31 Virginia, Southern Miss 24.
You're thinking a close game here. You're going to have me nervous.
High scoring game. By the way, I was right on the Virginia score last week. In terms of, we had 17 points. Unfortunately, we did not hold them, the Tar Heels, to 14.
Oh.
Michael, your pick. Quick.
I'm going with UVA with 31 points also, but a little bigger margin of victory, 13 for Southern Miss.
All right. We've got a big show next week. Very excited. We're going to have former UVA linebacker John Copper. He really did a great job playing middle linebacker for the Cavaliers in the 3 years that he basically manned the middle. We've got the Sabres editor, Chris Wright, joining us to sort of give us a state of the union of the UVA football program. And we've got Ortho Virginia's Dr. David Nediff will be in on the show to do the injury report. And hopefully
at least we hope we'll have him on the show.
No doubt. Dr. Nediff has been with us in the past, and he did not miss his cue. Someone's got to let Gordy Rawls know that we tried to find him. Looking forward to the show next week. It'll be a lot of fun because Hobbo is going to be home alone with Michael Tuskey.
Yeah, Mr. Maloney has a business engagement out of town, so Michael Tuskey steps up next week to co-host with yours truly. So we'll have fun, but we'll miss Frank. And then, of course, we'll also be talking about the Idaho game that will be next Saturday, of September or October. At any rate, thanks for listening to Who's Talking Tonight.
Go Hoos!